The busier he keeps, the less his leisure for thought and learning, the richer he grows, and the more he is esteemed. His 4 or 5 years of hasty, crowded study are supposed to give him a complete and final knowledge of the treatment of every sort of disease, and he goes on year after year, often without cooperation, working mechanically in the common incidents of practice, births, cases of measles and whooping cough and so forth, and blundering more or less in whatever else turns up. There are no public specialists to whom he can conveniently refer the difficulties he constantly encounters. Only in the case of rich patients is the specialist available. There are no properly organized information bureaus for him, and no means whatever of keeping him informed upon progress and discovery in medical science. He is not even required to set apart a month or so in every 2 or 3 years in order to return to lectures and hospitals and refresh his knowledge. Indeed, the income of the average general practitioner would not permit of such a thing, and almost the only means of contact between him and current thought lies in the one or other of our 2 great medical weeklies to which he happens to subscribe. Now, just as I have nothing but praise for the average general practitioner, so I have nothing but praise and admiration for those stalwart-looking publications. Without them, I can imagine nothing but the most terrible intellectual atrophy among our medical...